Oh yeah. So the other day I hit this on the dry piece. You can find that on my Instagram. Yeah, and it was a nightmare. I don't even know how I did it. I'm like too high even right now to hold this thing like this. That's why I'm definitely, if I hit it, I'm gonna hit it off the juggernaut. But yeah, I somehow hit it off here. Yeah, I'm still close to it. And that's gonna be eight of the new proxies and four Peak Pros with 3D XL chambers. Let me tell you, I put a bunch of mids in there, so it was fucking gross, dude. What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 178 of the podcast. On today's episode, we're going to be doing the PuffCon recap, and boy, oh boy, did so much happen there. I mean, truly, it couldn't have gone better in my eyes. But before we do that, I'm going to take a little taste test here of some California flavors I brought home because people were just blessing me with flavors, and I got this little cooler, and I just filled it with hash. Someone gave me a little mini cooler. And so much happened. First, take a dab. Some papaya. And this new 3x2. Beautiful. Oh, so many fruits. So sweet and almost a little coconut in there too. PuffCon was amazing. So we started out our trip the Wednesday before. Might have been the first, maybe the second. Let's just call it the first. Patrick picked me up at my house at 2 in the morning and we made our 18-hour drive, but first we had to pick up Turner on the way. The three of us drove across country with the giant bong and all the different glass pieces and everything we were bringing out for our challenges. Man, people were so hyped on the challenges. I'd never been to California before. It was super cool just to drive that far west and just see everything. When we got to LA, we got set up in the Airbnb and then we made our way over to PuffCo headquarters, which is in downtown Los Angeles at like literally like Center Studio. It's like a film studio. Insane. Like places where like Fight Club was filmed and Grandma's Boy and, you know, movies that we all have seen before that we've like loved were filmed right in this same building. We pulled up to headquarters and I literally see like LAPD signs everywhere on the windows. I'm like, this is a police station. Come to find out, it was just from the last TV show they were filming. They turned the whole thing into like a fake courthouse and police station. This was the bottom floor of the building that PuffCo is in. Going upstairs to their main area, I was just like blown away. I felt like I was going into like Apple or something. It was like their setup is truly incredible. I mean, like, oh my god, like me being a small business owner, all I can see is overhead. I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, this is insane. The investment, this is incredible. Like, what y'all built here, and meeting just a small fraction of their LA team because everyone was working like crazy, meaning that they were set up PuffCon, but their facility, everything, the amount of hash, I couldn't believe how big of a box of fucking empty 710 jars was underneath their front reception desk. Like, where the receptionist is, we're talking like a box that was probably like a 24 by 24 cube cardboard box just full of empty 710. And I'm like, whoa, they're doing work over here. Like, smoking all the hash, testing all the stuff. Meeting Roger, or Instagram name Jolly Roger, for the first time was like, it's like funny when you see someone online all the time. So you're like, it's like you see him in person. You're like, that's the guy I see all the time. I know and I watch or whatever. And then you see him and you're like, oh shit. Like it is. This is all like real. Like it's weird when you watch stuff on the internet a bunch. Like, cause I do that. I'm fucking blowing glass all day and looking at shit on the internet. And then you meet the people in real life and you're like, whoa, this is like a real thing. This is like really happening. Met so many cool people at PuffCo headquarters and just smoked such good hash, and they gifted us some 710 hash, which I brought back to the Airbnb and just chilled and smoked. So much good food in LA and shit, but day one, PuffCon, getting set up. Boy, that was a lot. Setting up the big bong, carrying everything in. We couldn't drive the car up, so carrying all the peat glass up. Like, we definitely went all out. We put literally everything we had into this. And getting set up, I thought I'd have time to walk around and at least check out other vendors before the event started. You know, I was like, oh, I'll get there early. Me and the boys got there at 8 a.m. We were there before any other vendor. We were there when, like, the essential, like, there were some Puffco people there, but it was mostly, like, it seemed like union people that were, like, hired to, like, set up events that were there. Like, it wasn't really many of the, like, main people were there yet, but we wanted to be there early so we had time to set up and test stuff or whatever. And then I wanted time after I set up to walk around and check out other people's booths before the fucking gates open. Well, 2-3 hours before this event opens, we have vendors lining up at our booth to do the challenges, and they're wanting to hang out at our booth and smoke hash, so I can't leave. I didn't get to go walk around and look at anyone's booth at all. I walked away once each day to go to the bathroom. That was it. Like, and that was a good thing, obviously. Like, I would love to have walked around and hung out and talked and see old friends and meet new ones. That would have been fucking awesome too. But there was so many people that were coming to the booth that it was just like, I can't leave. Like, my team, like, we had seven of us running this little 10x10 booth. And that wasn't enough people. Like, we could have had 10 people at our booth easy just running it because of the challenges. Like, the amount of Puffco units we were just using and burning through. And, like, I would keep hitting up. I'm like, we need more units. And, like, I feel like I was stressing the people at Puffco, which they accommodated and helped us get more units and everything and made it happen. You know, that's how I have, like, this crazy setup now, because I got all these fucking units, dude. And that's just some of them. We have boxes of units from this event because we're doing crazy shit, but now we're going to be doing events with these and doing more silly experiments and playing with them. I'll say we were using over 35 or almost 40 different units at our booth, and out of all of them, all the different pros, all the proxies, all the pivots, we only had one atomizer have an issue. And I think that it was like something that, like, someone did to it. Wasn't like it broke while we were using. I think that, like, when we tried to hook it up, it's like someone gifted us like four of them that were old ones that they just had. And I think it was just a one that had, like, been damaged prior. But all the atomizers, everything, we were had fucking like cross, what do they call it, pass through charging, so everything was plugged in that could be, and we were just running these things so hard and everything survived. It's like, we really put these things to a fucking ringer. I was even saying to people, I was like, this is brave of Puffco to want me to be here with all this stuff, because we're going to really be disrespecting some fucking stuff today. Like, not only is the hash getting disrespected, but we're going to be smoking these Puffco units, like, hard. Like, and they did great. And we cleaned them all. Man, cleanup day was crazy. But yeah, I met so many people. Like, the first day was honestly just a lot of just meeting heavy collectors and some other booth people and artists and stuff, but it was mostly like people just doing challenges. And then day two, I met like tons of like different artists and creators, and like I went to this like the creators lounge. They had like a 1-hour window that they wanted me to bring some glass over there and like dab people out, like the creators, which would be like the content creators, influencers, people who have large social media platforms. They had a special lounge for them where, you know, people like myself could come and do demos for them so they could take content and cool shit. I brought the Chirp Saber up there and the Crown, and just sessed with the, you know, people that I've always seen on the internet. Like, dude, before the even gates even opened, actually, the first person I talked to, the first person to buy stuff from us, sessed with me. Wow, my God, this is going to happen a lot through this. So much happened. I met too many people. Dope as Yola walks up. He was right across from us. And he's like, whoa, what is this? And I was like, in my head, I'm like, this is someone that, like, I thought just, like, I was like, I was like, how has he not seen my stuff? And he, like, really had never seen my shit. Like, and he was, like, checking out the Turf Saber, and he's like, has anyone hit that yet today? I was like, no, all this glass is clean. None of it's been seshed. He's like, all right, I want to hit the Turf Saber before the gates open while it's, like, clean and hasn't been had a million people seshed on it. I was like, perfect. So we got set up. He did a little video with it. And then he freaking bought an expensive piece of glass out of the case at our booth and, like, showed support. Like, didn't ask for a discount. Didn't ask to be hooked up with anything. He just, like, oh, I like that. Awesome. And then, like, bought it. Like, that dude's real. That's fucking, that's, like, a real-ass dude right there for sure. And it was awesome just talking to him and session with him for a second. Because these are people I've seen over the last decade through social media, whether it be on YouTube or Instagram and all these different things that they've done. It's just crazy to see where everyone's built to at this point and stuff. And to even have some of those people recognize me and like also recognize like everything we're doing here at Bear Mountain is just super fucking cool. Do you ever get a number that just calls you every day? I got one of those. I don't know what it is. But I won't block them because I'm like, what if it's something cool and I feel like answering one day, you know? But yeah, so dope, meeting Dope Isiola, meeting like, dude, they're like, I mean, there was like so many artists that like, I was kind of like, don't nerd out to or don't fanboy out. Like even like pro skaters that I used to watch back in the day when I was younger, like were like walking around in there, like, and I was just like, and they, I'm doing it. Good thing I didn't talk like this when I was in front of them. I was like really like talking clear and stuff because I was on a steroid. I'm gonna tell you why. Because I fucking smoked so hard for 3 to 4 weeks before PuffCon that I got a chest infection the week before we went. And I had to get on a steroid to stop the inflammation and issues I was having in my fucking lungs. But then the steroid, it's me and the boys would joke while we were out of town. I'm like, I'm on my cycle right now, dude. Fucking jacked up, dude. I had so much power and energy. I could just like talk to people and I could think clearly and I could pick heavy stuff up. Like all the gear we had to carry back and forth because there was no like, you know, we couldn't drive the car up. It's just what it is. And that's not a big deal. But either way, met so many cool people. On day two, also, someone from Eric Andre's team reached out to me and was like, hey, we want to get some of your glass on stage for them to use during basically this, like, it's like a game show kind of thing to do with rappers. And it was absolutely ridiculous. But I was like, all right, cool. We would love to bring some glass on stage or let you use the glass on stage. At first, I thought they just wanted to use the pieces. Like, hey, you guys can take them. And then they're like, no, we want you to, like, go on stage and, like, dab out the rapper with the piece before he spins on this thing and raps and battles the other rapper. I'm like, all right, sick. So getting that all set up and like dealing with like, dude, if we were in fucking Hollywood dealing with Hollywood people, it was so trippy. Like there's like all these stoners. Then behind the scene, there's all these very professional like people that I'm like, there's no way you smoke weed, dude. And if you do, you do it in a weird way. Like a way that I'm like, you don't do that a lot, do you? You don't smoke weed either way. It was interesting, though, that that there was this such professionalism, too, within certain aspects of it all, which you would have to have it be that way because of how big of an event it is. But being included in on those, like, events on stage, being included in all these different things, like, fucking, dude, there's so many, like, comedians and influencers that walked up that I've laughed at their fucking content for years that are just like, dude, I want to hit the bong. Like, and just, like, it was, like, the whole time, I would tell you I met hundreds of people, but I met at least 30 plus influential people to my own personal storyline, if that makes sense. Like people that I would look at on the social media and be like, oh man, you know, that's crazy what they're doing. Like people that they were influencing me in some way or another. And like, just like all these different owners and growers of hash brands and stuff, like seeing them in person, having them come up and talk about the glass, I mean, being hyped on Bear Mountain. I'm just like, this is fucking crazy, dude. Like people like, dude, it was trippy. Like famous, like adult film stars. And immediately they come up and introduce themselves. And like, I shook their hand. And I was like, oh, this is my wife right here. I was like, Sandra, get over here. You gotta, this is my wife. It was so awkward. I was so fucking awkward. I love it, though. That's just me. What can I do? That just be me. Be weird. Ugh, dude, it was just meeting, like, all these different people. And then, like, again, I said meeting comedians. Then we got a fucking invite to the Comedy Store, which is, like, where 90... I feel like I like a lot of Philly and East Coast comedy. But I would say as far as, like, the foundation of stand-up comedy and everything, the Comedy Store is, like, the highest percentile of where, like, talent and ideas had come from in the last 50, 60 years of comedy, at least stand-up comedy in this country. And it was so cool for me as a fan of comedy to be able to go there. Oh my God, dude, like getting a message from a comedian that you enjoy their comedy, being like, hey, if you're free tonight, come to the Comedy Store and hang out. And we'll sesh back in the green room and like bar area and hang out. And I'm like, sick. It was like so trippy. But you know what? He said that to me, and I was like, in my head, I'm like, I want to do that, but I'm only going to go if like my whole team can go, like with. So I would never do something like this, because I'm very like, usually I would just say, oh, I can't go, man, I got a bunch of people with me. Or I'd be like funny, but I'm like, I want to do this so bad, but I also only want to do it if I can do it with everybody. And I messaged him, I was like, yeah, dude, as long as like my whole team come, there's seven of us. Is that you good to get seven of us in and bring us in the back area? And then he didn't mess me back for a little bit, and then finally got back to me. He's like, okay, I got you guys, but there's the back bar area is kind of small, so I might have to bring you back in groups like three at a time, and then like do like basically take turns back there. And I was like, that's fine, whatever, however it works, as long as you can get us into a free show and we get to actually be like going to the comedy club, be invited there. Like, what a cool experience, our first time there, being like invited to this place by someone that works the club and is like a really badass comedian. Frank Costello, by the way. But yeah, so we get there and we get like brought back and like the comedian, I guess, entrance or employee entrance or whatever, and just walking back through these hallways and seeing all the pictures and names on the walls, I'm like, this shit isn't real. Like, it's so weird. Like, we just come to LA once. I meet every single person pretty much that I needed to meet. There's a handful that I didn't, but I'm like, you can't have everything, dude. You can't, like, you have to just be appreciative of the things you do have. You can't have everything. But there was a handful of people I didn't meet, but man, I met way more than I was expecting as far as like influential people, people that, like, crazy to see the people that are into Bear Mountain. It's just blows me away. But yeah, they brought us back there. We got to see Andrew Santino live. We got to see David Spade. We got to see like Eliza Schlesinger. I'm so bad at saying her last name, but she's incredibly funny. Lots of Netflix specials. I think then Adriana Kim, I think. I might be saying her name wrong, but she's another stand-up comedian I've seen like on Tiger Belly and stuff. She's super funny. But yeah, and like being able to do that with my entire team and seeing all of them get hyped up, dude. Like, they were, because they're all comedy fans too. We all work all day, watch these podcasts and listen to these comedians. And we all grew up, we're all around the same age. So we grew up watching David Spade movies. We grew up like watching Pauly Shore movies. Yeah, and fucking Pauly Shore just in the middle of the show just comes out of the curtain and just stops the show and does 30 minutes. He just like stops all the shows. He's like, no, I'm going to use my stage right now and do 30 minutes. And he hadn't been on stage in months, I guess, because he had some sort of medical scare. This was his first night just getting back, I guess, and talking to everyone. At least that's what I understood what he was saying. But either way, it was like a total surprise. He wasn't on the list to be on stage that night. He just popped in and just did it because it's his club. Because his mom owned the Comedy Store, Mitzi Shore. She was the owner of it for many years, and he grew up there as a kid in comedy and then became a big comedian and actor himself. So seeing Pauly Shore, like growing up watching, dude, like Biodome, like Encino Man, like there's so many fun, it was just all of it was so surreal. I'm like, how do we come to LA once and in like a 2 or 3 day period we meet everyone pretty much that we need to meet, like, and do all these things? Like, I'm like, I get why people, I would never want to live there just because it's real messy, y'all. Not hating on LA, but whoa, crazy. Made me want to like start in, like use my platform to start cleaning up Colorado Springs where I live just to get ahead of it, dude. I never want it to get that messy here. But yeah, but the amount of people that are all like in one area and the connections and stuff, pretty fucking nuts. I was definitely just, the whole time, like, I keep, like, remembering, like, more and more things that were happening, like, as I was there. It was, like, I couldn't fucking process, like, everything that was happening because it was, like, so many things back to back to back. Like, the people, again, I'm going to finish this podcast, but, like, we're going to talk about being that person, but, dude, just, yeah. Like, doing the whole, like, Eric Andre thing was really funny, like, being able to share that with, like, me and Pat went up on stage together. He had the Terp Saber. I had the crown. I wish I would have brought the Juggernaut or something, but they really wanted the crown on stage. Everyone loves that crown, but I'm like, you need to, like, know how to use this thing to get a big ass hit off it. You need to understand. Whereas the Turf Saber is just like, put your mouth here and hit it. Like, should have. I wish I would have brought the Juggernaut, but they wanted that specific piece. But that wasn't the point of the show anyways. They just wanted to get these guys high and spinning on a turntable to make it hard for them to rap battle each other. It's like that typical game where you spin around on a baseball bat with your head and then try to hit the ball and run. It's like, make it difficult to do the thing that you normally do to make it more funny. But yeah, it's fucking crazy. It was crazy to like bring everyone out to like, I was always like the dream to like do that. But at the same time, like I never thought we'd be able to pull that off where we'd be like, I mean, it took everything I had. We came back here and like, we spent all the monies we had. So now we got to like hustle and crush so that everyone has paychecks next week. And that's the real shit, but we're a small business, so that's what it takes sometimes. You got to invest everything you got in order for it to even happen. And that's why, like, I'm saying it turned out the best it possibly could be. I come home after working that hard for weeks and doing this whole thing and spending every cent I have and not really having, like, capital I can show anyone, but the experiences and the connections and, like, the brand recognition and like my team being able to see all these hundreds, no, literally thousands of people come to our booth in excitement with what we're all doing and just making them feel like, dude, fuck yeah, I'm doing the right thing. Cause like, dude, I have a bunch of super skilled people here working with me and it's like, they can go do their own thing too. Like, but they're making like their own sacrifices being here trying to build this thing with me. So them seeing that like people appreciate that and are super hyped, I think that was really important too. So again, like if you're someone that's just measuring things based on money and capital and gains and stuff, yeah, the trip was like a break-even loss. But if you measure things in experience and connections and like, you know, like the brand recognition, which is a huge thing nowadays, that's like, it was, I couldn't have, you bought a better experience. Like it was, it all was like just given to us, which makes me go like, this was a gift. So whatever it costs, you know, whatever we spent to get here and like whatever this all took, like this was still a gift because there's a whole bunch of other people that spent a shit ton of money and worked their ass off to get out here and no one gave them shit. No one gave a fuck. And I'm like, look how many people care that we're here. We're winning. I saw like the booth there that like does a lot of the knockoff RBR stuff, and like there wasn't like a bunch of people chilling around their booth like having fun and stuff. It was just like, I'm like, yeah, like that's what it is. Like this is real. Like they'll sell more glass than us all day, but the memories and the experiences are being, it's like happening around us. At least that's how I was feeling there. I was like, that's so much more special than like selling a pipe. Like selling a pipe is so cool. Like making art and selling it is like the craziest feeling ever. Make some with your hands and someone wants to buy it. But then like there's other things. I don't know. It was just really eye opening and I think it was like on many levels beneficial. That's what I'm trying to tell my wife. I'm like, I know, we spent all of our money and we worked very hard, but that was pretty sick, right? You know? But no, she thinks it's sick. But she's the business one and she's like very like wants to make sure that we're making the right decisions so that everything stays consistent with, you know, paying for everything. It's just business stuff, dude. I smoke hash and make crazy pipes, so it's not really my thing. I don't really like doing business, you know. If this is business, I like this. So what we got here last night right before I left after a 16-hour day, I was like, and I had to pick up my daughter early and then bring her home and chill with her, and then got to come back to work because the school's like, oh, we think she has a concussion. And I'm like, okay, I'm coming together, bring her urgent care. Called the doctor and they're like, they asked me a bunch of questions. They talked to her and they're like, okay, she's fine. She's coming in on Thursday. Like, unless she starts getting dizzy and throwing up, she's just give her ice and ibuprofen. I'm like, all right, cool. But either way, yesterday was fucked. Still got stuff done though, and that's fine, dude. That's what I mean. Like, it's the little wins. Still figuring it out. Still giving 110%. Coming in early as fuck. I posted like a thing like about coming in early. Anytime I post a thing like and actually show people with timestamps how early I'm getting in here, I get so many people that like are and they're being so friendly and they're trying to like reassure me, like, yeah, but it's like what you love to do, you're doing. I'm like, dude, I'm not complaining. Like, you're looking at me coming in early as if like, oh man, that sucks for him. It's like, no, like this, you don't understand. Like, right now this shit rules. Like, this is super fun. Like, I want to be in here early. Like, I have ideas. I want to see what I made yesterday. Like, I want to like play with the gadgets, dude. And honestly, I want to do a lot of it before my team gets here, because once they get here, like, my wife and business partner will be a little frustrated with me if I'm distracting the entire team for an hour or two when we all should be trying to get orders done or repairs done or whatever things on our board for the day. So I try to get in early so I can have my fun time at 3-4 in the morning with all the fun glass I made. And then the team gets here and I'm just totally stoned on the lathe already working. I'm like, what's up, guys? This is what we're doing today. Let's get it. But if I get in later, that means that I'm usually sitting here and doing all these dabs. And then, of course, the guys want to hang out and watch me do it because they're like, oh, I want to see what happens. And I'm not going to be like, get out of here. Get to work. I'm going to be like, no, dude, check this dab out, bro. So the point is, it's not a sacrifice. I'm stoked to come in here and have fun, okay? Yes, there's been moments in life where I have to come in early because the world's ending and we need to find a way to save ourselves. But then there's times where I'm in here, even when I don't have money and I should be freaking out and just crushing trying to make money, I'm just feeling hopeful. And maybe that's not, maybe it's more profitable to be terrified, but I like this feeling more right now. So I'm trying to enjoy and appreciate what we've accomplished as a team here at Bear Mountain Studios. It's very cool. And not freak out about the basic shit that's always happened. There's always going to be a bill due. There's always going to be something. When do you get to smoke stuff like this? I'm going to do it right now. Let me warm this up. One more nail dab. This is kind of like a nail and a pivot dab, though. You know, it's got the pivot on the bottom. We got these small, this is a 10 mil joint, but it's a 12 mil bucket. So when I say 12 mil bucket, that's like this diameter. So this is a really skinny, like, tower, basically. So they don't hold heat as long, but it's kind of nice. They warm up a little quicker. You don't have to use as much gas to get them to that nice temp. And also, too, they have a unique restricted pull on them, and they just absolutely shred. However, I would say on a pivot with this type of adapter, I'd like to put a marble in there, like a small ruby pearl, maybe like 5 mil, 6 mil, probably 5 mil. The pillar in this, because there's air coming from the bottom and all this is so tight and closed, it creates a high vacuum. So once all the oil's melted in this nail and I want to start really finishing clearing the pivot and I put a higher pull on this, this pillar will probably just sit at the top of this and spin because it's a skinnier nail. It's a big pillar. But either way, I'm just going to smoke it like this. I was just telling you what I was doing. That's it. The terps out there, though, guys. The flavors. Oh, my gosh. All the 710 terps. The fucking... that Professor Sift guy. That fucking... that shit. There was so much crazy hash. All the hash was so expensive. Oh my god. There was like grams there. They're like $125 grams, bro. I was like, this shit better pay my rent tomorrow, dude. Like that, like if at $125 a gram, this better be giving me a course on how to make money. Like, bro. Oh my god. Not saying they're not worth it, but man, I wasn't used to that. I bought them, dude. I bought all the $125 grams. I'd sell a pipe at the booth and send Patrick on a mission. Like, okay, go to this booth and try to buy some hash for me. Like, bro. And then I smoked all the fucking expensive hash on Catalina Island, dude. Dude, I might have been the only dude smoking hash on that island. It's... dude, we didn't even get to the Catalina Island part yet. Like, oh my god, so much happened. Are you kidding me? Catalina Island happened too in this fucking trip? That's crazy. But either way, PuffCon fucking ruled. It was one of those things where, like, we have to come back next year. We want to go bigger, though. I'm really already talking to PuffCo. I want to do something so much bigger. I would like to have our own, like, midway. Or like a glass bong carnival thing. I want multiple booths creating some sort of U or L-shaped section where we can have all different types of carnival-inspired games based around different smoking challenges just for fun. Shit, maybe even bobbing for RBRs. You know what I mean? I don't know. That we'll workshop it. That doesn't need to be used. The idea is use nostalgic carnival or midway-like games or challenges, integrate them into a 21-plus smoking challenge using Puffco devices, and create a bunch of cool glass, and maybe even work with other artists that people love to collect and support, and have them collaborate on the pieces we're using for the challenges, because I'm sure other people would love the opportunity to make some crazy shit that's just for fun. Oftentimes artists will get pinned in between like that rock and a hard place where they have to sell enough of their art in order to be able to afford to be an artist. And then they find themselves basically 90% of the time working to make product to sell, which is still their art, but as an artist they'd like to pursue and try other things, but they have to do the thing that's selling in order to afford to be an artist. So sometimes it's fun when you get an opportunity to do something that maybe is like paid work that lets you just have fun with something that you don't have to be so caught up on, well, it must be complete within this window, within this amount of investment, because X, Y, or Z. I don't know shit. I'm just saying. Either way, I think I missed my dab. So I'm going to reheat this nail now. You know what it is? It might have been fear that got me. But fine. We're not done. We're the food there, fire. And man, just even going up and down like Sunset Boulevard and seeing all the fucking the corny tourist shit, like the Hollywood stars on the walkway and stuff. I don't know, the Hollywood sign. I saw it all from afar, you know. I stayed in the fucking SUV, you know, and just looked out. I just peered out as I ripped dabs and I go, oh, there's that thing I've seen on the internet. Oh, I know what that is. That famous person did that there. I sat in a diner where they like filmed all different movies. I think, can't even think of any right now, but I know Vin Diesel was in one of them, Triple X. That's not like the best movie, but it definitely used it. There's way more famous ones. The woman that owns that diner would be rolling over in her grave right now because I think she's dead. She was like 100 something, but she'd probably be bummed. She'd be like, oh, this famous movie and this famous movie, because like, my guys were at this diner and they knew the movies that were filmed there. Maybe one was Clockwork Orange. Maybe. I don't fucking know. Whatever, man. Movies were filmed there, and that's pretty fucking cool. Oh, dude, do I not have a... Is this going to fit in here? I usually use a small marble. Oh, that'll work. That's small, though. I mean, that's kind of... Fuck it, it'll work. So, my wife, you know, she thought... She was like, hey, this Puffco event we're doing, if we're going all the way to California and we're going to be out there, maybe we stay for an extra couple days after and try to rest, because if the event goes really shitty, we might need to do that to calm down so we don't come home with a bunch of bad energy. Or if it goes really good, maybe we want to chill and celebrate. So I was like, yeah, that's a pretty fucking good idea. That's actually not what I said. I really didn't want to do it. Like the whole, till the last like month, I was like, fine, book it. Like, I don't know why I'm being such a party pooper. Like, I don't know. I think I was just stressed. But either way. She booked a couple days on Catalina Island, and that shit was really fucking cool. Now, my wife didn't know anything about Catalina Island prior to her booking everything there, but I knew things about it because I watched too much YouTube. But Catalina Island is one of the highest concentrations of UFO sightings in the country. There's also, that was the last place where mammoths lived. There were mini mammoths about 6,000 years ago, lived side by side with the native people. They also found large human skeletons on the Catalina Island, so. There's a lot going on there. The famous Nimitz event where they, in 2004, with the Tic Tac, out of the ocean, the Tic Tac UFO they were following around, was filmed right off the coast of Catalina Island. That's where they see all the black cubes inside the clear bubbles or whatever. Some of the recent disclosure stuff under the Freedom of Information Act the largest UFO base is supposed to be right there in the channel between Catalina Island and California, out of the six that are on this planet that they think they know about. I mean, who knows though, dude? I don't know. The mountains are cool too. Some good food, great lobster roll. I had a good lobster roll there. Was really cool is my tour guide that brought us up, because Cass also booked us like this off-road Jeep tour where this guy drove, or it was like he drove a Hummer, basically drives you up the mountain and then along the ridges of the mountains and around the whole like island. Not the whole thing, but a lot of it. Because there's buffalo that live on the island. The only animals on the fucking island are buffalo and a gray fox. The buffalo out there were brought during the 1920s when they were filming Hollywood movies, and the buffalo got loose and they couldn't find them because the island's actually so fucking big you can't find them. Even though there was no fucking trees, still couldn't find them. And I was blown away, but I was like, I don't see any buffalo, and there's supposedly 100 of them out here. This is like crazy. And there's a small gray fox that the Native American people brought over 6 to 7,000 years ago. That was like more of a domesticated pet. It was like, you know, their pet they brought over. And the fox got very small over time on the island, because that happens to animals sometimes on islands, like it did the mammoth. And now it's about the size of a house cat. We did see one of those, which they're super rare, but I guess the vibes were just right on the mountain. And the fox popped out, ran in front of us. And even the tour guide was like, whoa, that was, we never see those. But he'd been a tour guide on that island for 22 years. And if you've ever seen any of the Discovery Channel shows that Josh Gates does. He does like Adventure Unknown and Expedition X. Expedition X does more paranormal and supernatural stuff, like aliens and whatever, ghosts. But that specific show, they did an episode, and the tour guide that we had was on that. And I like remember watching it, and I even watched it again that night after I did the tour with him, because I was like, I gotta rewatch this, dude. The boy, my boy's on there. I see my boy on there, dude, talking about aliens. But it's crazy how aliens are. That whole island seems like it's separated from the whole world. It's like whatever's happening on the mainland, even though you can see the coast of California on a clear day, you can see like mountains and shit. Like, it seems like it's also separate from there. Like, there's 4,000 people that live there year round, and they have their own little world there. Just drive golf carts everywhere. Can't have cars. You know, there's some cars, but not many. And like the waiting list for a car is like 20 years. And you can't buy someone's car on the island. You, like, if you want to sell or get rid of your car, you have to ship it back to like mainland California. But for some reason, fucking Catalina Island is LA County. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just how it works or something. I don't know. So I guess the largest underwater alien base is in LA County too. I mean, that would make sense, right? Yeah, but fucking, it was crazy. And for me, being like growing up watching, like, I loved like Will Ferrell movies and shit, and John C. Reilly, so Step Brothers, of course, and the Catalina Wine Mixer. There was so many things that were aligning. Like, I was like, in my head, I was like, my wife just like booked this without like, she, because what my wife was looking for was, she's not really someone that wants to just go like spend money on shopping and stuff. She wants to do like nature and outdoor stuff that's kind of like that area, so she can see that area, like see what the nature's like and outdoor shit. Closest thing she could find that seemed fun and nice and clean and outdoorsy was Catalina Island, to where we were in LA for PuffCon, and so close, it was crazy. And so that's just how it all worked out. But for me, I'm like, man, Catalina Island, I mean, if you know anything about sharks too, I mean, that place is notorious for sharks too, like big sharks. Like, there's just so many things. I'm like, it's just funny when you end up at a place that's like you've had interest in so many different aspects of your like little life, and then you're like, oh, I guess I'm here now, fucking eating a lobster roll on Catalina Island, dude. Of course, got a Catalina wine mixer shirt. You know, they had those there. Supposedly the Catalina wine mixer, I don't even think was a real thing until after that movie, and then they like made it a thing. So, like, it was like a fictional thing. At least that was the research I was reading, but I could get that wrong. Either way, California was very eventful, very fun. I hit that. Good. It's hard to remember, but I feel like dumb right now, so I probably hit that. So man, so many people that had like Bear Mountain stuff too, and so many, like, I met multiple glass blowers. Like, I started blowing glass because of you, and I'm like, and they're like, oh, I've been blowing glass for 5 or 6 years, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's crazy how long I've been doing this now, and it's not even that long, but it's like trippy. Like I still again feel like I'm kind of like new here, but it's because I don't go to a lot of the events and stuff. If I was going to those events every year, I'd have a whole community of people that I knew in person and it would have a totally different vibe. But I'm like a homeschool kid. Like I fucking you sometimes you see me at the pep rally for some reason. Like I'm not often at the things though. I'm always just here working on stuff. But we're gonna start making it a point to get out more. Like we really wanna bring like we're doing our Patreon event here November 8th. We're bringing the challenges up to Denver. It's gonna be a private sesh, very small. Like we're keeping it sub 100 like every year. We usually only sell like 70 or 80 tickets max. So that like, you know, there's plenty of hash and plenty of like free non-alcoholic drinks. But you know, so we can stay hydrated and keep our, you know, throats from getting cooked from doing all the research we're gonna be doing. But we're gonna be doing it at the Vape Loft. It's gonna be really fun. I'm excited to actually have the challenges there. This year we'll be giving out the badges and everything. This way, like we can like really fucking do some crazy shit with these challenges too. At PuffCon, it was just so crazy. There was lines for every we had four different challenges at our booth. Each one had a line of like 15 or 20 people. And I'm like, there's literally and I had other vendors being like, can you like move these crowds? Like our booth, like people can't see our booth. And I'm like, you're right, I'm sorry. Like no one was being shitty. I felt bad. Because and I even told them, I was like, next year we're not gonna be here. We're gonna be set up totally different because this is not an appropriate spot to be doing something like this. This is too much. Like and some of the vendors liked it, 'cause they're like, oh no, like there's crowds here, it's sick. They've been coming to my booth and buying hash. But other people were like, no, like people can't see our artwork because like everyone's just standing in front of our booth waiting in line. So I see everyone's perspective. So we just need to be more like planned for that next year, just in case it's busy again, which I think it might be. Because if Puffco is able to work with me on what I want to do, I think what would be there, like literally have it a thing on the map too. Like not even a booth number, it'll just be one of the events at PuffCon. It's like, oh, you want to go to the Midway and try some of the games and stuff they have over there. Like, that's essentially what it would be. Have prizes and just make it fun and all around functional glass and smoking hash. A very fun 21 plus way to consume cannabis, you know? Yeah. The guys asked me if I was going to hit this today on camera. And I was. But I haven't eaten anything yet today, and I fear that if I hit this, I'll be nonverbal, non-functional. You see, the other day, I actually did hit this, though, and I might hit it now. Just give me a minute to talk and think about it. Let's see if I can lift it off right now. Oh, yeah. So, the other day, I hit this on the dry piece. You can find that on my Instagram. Yeah, and it was a nightmare. I don't even know how I did it. I'm like too high even right now to hold this thing like this. That's why I'm definitely if I hit it, I'm gonna hit it off the juggernaut. But yeah, I somehow hit it off here. Yeah, I'm still close to it. And that's gonna be eight of the new proxies and four Peak Pros of 3DXL chambers. Let me tell you, I put a bunch of mids in there, so it was fucking gross, dude. Because I was like, that's a lot of hash. That's like so much hash. Like, that's like money I don't really have right now. Like, I kind of need that gram and a half to smoke for the next day or two. Like, you know, or more if I try to be. Oh my God, it's so sketchy. It's like so much weight. It's like really like so much weight on the glass. I don't know what I'm thinking. Sometimes I really test the glass. I'll tell you what, y'all. I'm gonna set this over here just in case this fucking tower comes tumbling down. Even though it's been sitting like this like all night and I've been beating on it, it doesn't matter. It's still like sketchy. Maybe I'll hit it though. You know, guys? I mean, it is loaded up. It's already loaded just in case. Aja, how are we on time right now? Because if I hit this, okay, yeah. If I hit this, it's gonna be confusing for everyone after. But it's nice this little quad deal here. This was what I was ripping in that one video on this thing. You know, it's kind of this is a pretty chill setup. You know, it's when you add the other eight devices when it gets a little, whoa, sketchy. The real thing is warming them all up, you know? Doing all that at once. Dude, fucking met Josh Potter at the Comedy Store too. We walked in the back of the like green room bar area to fucking like sesh back there, which they had like Puffco's all set up on the bar and hash all out. I was like, damn, like this is a sick back room. Like you guys literally just sesh and smoke hash and drink beer. And they're like, oh yeah. And I'm like, dude, like you guys need, like we're going to get Bear Mountain into the Comedy Store already. That's already happening. Like, that's what these comedians need to be smoking. These people that make me giggle all day, they need to be smoking Paramount Studios pieces. But it was so trippy. Even like meeting Josh Potter, he comes from upstate New York. I've been a fan of him for years since I first found him on Your Mom's House like 5-6 years ago. And then he has his own podcast and all his stand up he does. Just very, very funny guy. Especially if you're from the Northeast, like, a lot of the humor and like things that I think make him funny are like pretty regional with some things. But yeah, it's fucking awesome meeting him too. It's just so many people, guys. It's fucking crazy. So I'm back here now. Okay. All right. Let's see here. Scott, I got to plan out. You really have to just know where all your buttons are, dude. You know, really, I should just click them all and then turn it. Because this is really the easiest way for me to do it is if I look at it. First, I want to make sure all the devices are actually on. Because if I'm sitting here messing around trying to turn one on while another one's already warming up. So right now, I'm just checking. This one has a blue light, but that's actually white. It's a custom setting, so that one's like a lighter color. All these pros are on, but the lights are turned off on this green one because we were running into battery issues at PuffCon, so we turned off the lights on some of them to help the batteries last a little longer. I'm just saying it now because I did a video yesterday and someone was like, oh, that one wasn't on. And I was like, it actually was. If you look at the smoke coming out of the joystick before I hit it, like everything was on. Just certain ones have different lighting configurations because they're our personal ones. Okay. So everything is on. So what we have here is 8 of the new proxies, and we have 4 of the Peak Pros with 3D XL chambers on a double diffused Juggernaut RBR, which we're going to have our window open up again for these. I think it's April 23rd to April 16th is our clear pre-sale. We do it once a year, this where we open up all the different designs, and you can get those just in time for the holidays. Sorry, I'm just making sure all my caps are closed, or at least closed as possible. When they're like cold and sticky, they're not as easy to pop in. All right, I think I'm good. Let's fucking start her up then. Let's see here. These are the ones. All right. Uh-oh. Whatever. That one's going on green. Alright, we're all on. One's on green. Uh-oh. That one, I think. Okay, there it goes. Okay. Alright, we're all starting to buzz. Oh. We do have one dead battery, but you know what? You're going to get the point. There they go. All right, I got to stand up for this. This is going to hurt. What the fuck, dude? Who put water in that after me? That ain't right. Dude, I just drank so much shit water, dude. Oh my God, my body. Oh, I know what happened now. I know what happened. I'm going to throw up, though. Whoa. Yeah, water was gross, bro. I know what happened, though. Let me tell you. I put more water in this for another video the other day. Oh my God, I'm gonna throw up. When it had higher restriction on it because it had just 4 proxies. When I hit this tree of Puffco's yesterday, it was on a dry Cavalier. I'm going to throw up. The water level is set for high restriction right now due to the previous video, and I put something with a higher airflow on it because it has so many devices. That means every single carb cap is an airflow point. Oh god, the flavor of that water. So, user error. This is a perfect example of why I didn't let people just hit the 12 device big bong right out the gate. You had to complete the first three challenges first. We had to make sure that not only were we had all our shit in order and set and levels set right, oh god, but we had to make sure you were also capable so as not to waste the 12 battery warm-ups and all the hash in the chambers. Now I will say that was a reheat. All the hash in there was not fresh. I just reheated yesterday's dab because I knew there was still some left in there. You know when you say something and then you remember it? I remember the first time I got sick from drinking alcohol and throwing up when I was younger, and it was on spiced rum. And anytime I smell spiced rum, I just want to throw up. And now I'm just, every time I talk about this, that flavor, what I just got, that water. But what a great way to end the episode, right? Make sure you sign up for our newsletter, bmsclass.com. We have a few drops left this year. A couple more color drops, and then our Big Clear presale. We have our Patreon event up in Denver coming up November 8th. If you wanted to go to that, sign up for our Patreon, gain access to the ticket link, and come out and do the gauntlet or just watch people do it. Sesh every Bear Mountain Studio style piece you could think of. Find what your favorite style is and see if you want to scoop one in the future, or just go there and enjoy testing everything and have fun with it. Really, it's about having fun. And we're doing it in Denver this year instead of Colorado Springs. So, hope to see some of y'all there, podcast listeners. And I'm going to go get this taste out of my mouth. Hope you guys have a great day. Episode 178. I probably forgot a bunch of shit about PuffCon, but it was sick. Later, everybody.